Dog Nation Daily. You hear it every Monday through Friday from noon until 1 right here on 960 The Ref. And I guess this is the first time we've had a chance to bring in the host of the show, our man Brandon Adams. B.A., good morning. It's Dave and Sam. How are you, my man?
What is going on, guys? Happy Friday to both of you.
Happy Friday. You got that right. And we are – I heard you and Sam talking just before we went on the air, too, about how – I know we still have Christmas, but it feels like the other Christmas is the one that everybody's looking forward to now with the game on New Year's Day, 17 days away. Sam and I have been calling it December 32nd instead of January 1st because we don't want, 2017 to end. And, I mean, just what an unbelievable year it's been. How's it been for you and for the Dog Nation Daily podcast, which, by the way, is absolutely terrific. You do a great job with that, and we enjoy it here.
Well, first of all, Dave, thank you so much for that. I really appreciate that. I obviously love being on the radio in Athens. That's a real thrill and an honor for me. So I'm glad to know that y'all are having a good time with the show, too. And, yeah, listen, look, I've grown up, following Georgia football my whole life, and I don't think there's any question about it that this is the most memorable, most enjoyable season that, really I can think back on as a fan. Now, I'm obviously a little too young to have remembered the Herschel Walker years and things like that. So this, to a certain extent, is sort of my glory year, so to speak. I was jealous of those who were old enough to have, really seen Herschel and remembered that. And, this is, for us now, kind of, I guess, our own version of what Georgia fans got the chance to enjoy back then. And I'm kind of like you. I hope to see Georgia win a national championship. But to a certain extent, I sort of don't want this season to end. I just sort of want to keep them to keep on playing games. I mean, it feels like it's been 9 years since the SEC championship. And obviously January 1st is going to be here, or as y'all call it, December 32nd is going to be here before before we know it. But it seems like this interminable wait is just a lot to deal with right now.
Brandon, I'm going to try to catch you off guard real quick before I get into the Rose Bowl here. What's the Gator Hater countdown at right now?
Is it 318 days, maybe? Yeah, we think the good Georgia fans are Gator haters. I believe we're, 318, 317, something like that?
Yeah, I knew you'd have it right there, man.
Sam said in the previous – or actually, he said in the 6 o'clock hour, he's like, I'm going to try to blindside Brandon and see if I can catch him off guard on the Gator Hater countdown.
Well, I will tell you a funny story about that. So we do the Gator Hater countdown every day. If people haven't listened to the show, we count down to the Florida game because – I just want Georgia fans to hate the Gators and want to think about it every day. And I guess last year our count was wrong. We use a Google calendar to do it. And we were counting down to midnight to the day of the game instead of 3:30 p.m., which would have added an extra day to it. And somebody had checked our math for us. A listener to the program had sent me a private message on our message board at dognation.com and said that the Gator Hater countdown was wrong. We kind of figured it out and fixed it and corrected it ourselves. So while I do the countdown every day, I'm not an expert at actually counting down the number of days. It is pretty easy for me to mess that up.
Well, I tell you what, thank goodness for the internet, because yeah, there are those websites where you can just put in days on the calendar and figure that stuff out. But then when you start getting tricky, like you said, when you want to start figuring in kickoff times, that's when it messes everything up. But hey, I'm telling you, this magical season that a lot of the younger generation, the under 40 crowd that just hasn't seen a year like this. What's been your favorite moment so far this year? I mean, well, the SEC championship obviously was terrific, but did you have a favorite moment in the regular season? Was it the whipping of Florida?
I think that for me personally, it was just because I do think back to three decades worth of, or at least what seems like three decades worth of disappointment against Florida, and to handle the Gators so emphatically was to me a message that this really is a new era of Georgia football. And at the time I didn't know how much better things were going to get, and to the tune of winning an SEC championship and doing it relatively handily against Auburn. But that Florida game for me was a message, and you can count the Tennessee game in that as well, to a beat a rival 41-0 and to really sort of start a theme of Georgia blowing out some of its rivals and then sending those programs in sort of tailspins after that. I mean, Butch Jones was already in trouble before the blowout loss, but what Georgia inflicted on the Vols that day I think only made that worse. Jim McElwain did get fired the very next day after the Georgia game against Florida. So, for fans here, it's sort of the double whammy of seeing Georgia have success but also inflicting a lot of pain on, for someone like me that really came of age during the 90s when Florida and Tennessee both we're inflicting great pain on Georgia every single year. To think about, you know, getting that revenge this year, I think for fans, that's got to have made it really, really fun.
We're joined by Brandon Adams, our man BA, the host of Dog Nation Daily.
Now, Brandon, I became somewhat obsessed with the Rose Bowl after the 2007 season, when a lot of Georgia fans, myself included, wanted to see Georgia take on USC in the Rose Bowl. Instead, the Rose Bowl held true to Big Ten Pac-12 and took a very overmatched Illinois team, and USC crushed them. But a lot of Georgia fans really wanted to see that. They thought that could have been sort of the de facto national championship because, you know, I think Tennessee ends up losing to LSU in the SEC championship game, but Georgia was just one of the hottest teams in the country. So do you think this is sort of a double whammy for Georgia fans because it's not only a trip to the Rose Bowl, not only, you know, that chance to be in the college football playoff national championship, but it sort of feels like this has come almost full circle that Georgia now gets to go to the Rose Bowl?
Yeah, I think that's really well said. I mean, I do think it's incredibly fortunate because you could be a power program and compete for championships every year but not ever quite have the stars align if you're from the South to be in the Rose Bowl. You know, there's a sort of a striking of good luck here that Georgia even gets to go out and play in this game, and I mean good luck in the way that the fans probably, just like, you know, a lot of us, you say you revered that stadium, you kind of have the San Gabriel Mountains in the background, that backdrop for college football. There's a lot of, you know, sort of once-in-a-lifetime nature to a game like this, and the reason why it's once-in-a-lifetime is because you may not ever actually get a chance to go. You could be in a spot like this in just the wrong year or just not have it, all the stars exactly quite aligned. So to think that Georgia is in the playoff and gets a chance to go to Pasadena, and I've heard from, and I know that y'all have as well, so many Georgia fans who are making that trip, planning on going and kind of doing whatever they have to do to get there. That's another part about this that's really cool because, you know, the word that keeps coming up here is surreal. It almost doesn't seem real to think that on January 1st, whether you're in the stadium or watching on TV, you're going to see Georgia in this venue, in this game against a hallowed program like Oklahoma. I mean, that's a pretty cool spot to drop that Georgia G.
No question. And 75th anniversary of the 1942 season /43 Rose Bowl with Charlie Trippi. Yesterday was his 96th birthday. I mean, it's just so many cool things that are just going on right now all at once.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was his birthday, but that is really cool. And my understanding is he's still in really good health. I know Chip Towers, who appears on y'all's show a lot and is with us here at DogNation.com. I know he spent some time with him too far in the recent past, and I think that he's still doing great at, what'd you say, 96 years old?
That's 96, amazing. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Just a treasure, just no question about that. Hey, Brandon, I wanted to ask you about your thoughts. I know I always enjoy listening when you have Jeff Sintel on and the recruiting, which has just been incredible here for Georgia, but what are your thoughts on how this early signing period is going to kind of play out? And, you know, it's kind of weird. I know Javon Becton decommitted earlier this week, and I say decommitted in air quotes, you know, and, you know, what else do you, what do you kind of think, and you and Jeff think is going to happen here in this early signing period and what that means for what we'll have to look forward to for that first Wednesday in February?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's funny that you would ask that the way that you did, because I was actually spending some time looking at that today in terms of who is going to still be left out there that Georgia's chasing once early signing period's over. I mean, to sort of jump to the last page here for a moment, Georgia's going to have a major haul starting on December 20th, and when that three-day period comes to an end, I mean, Georgia may have signed as many as 20 guys. I mean, that's what Georgia might have done here, and in doing so, will work its way up from where it is right now, kind of in the top five. It could be, you know, number two in the country before this is all said and done. It has a shot towards being number one if it can really just sort of sweep the board for all the available prospects. It sounds like the guys that would be left after the early signing period is over, Tyson Campbell, the defensive back from down in South Florida, to the extent that Georgia's still involved with him, they'll still be chasing him leading up to February. Looks like Robert Cooper, the defensive lineman from South Gwinnett, is kind of heading back in the direction of Florida State right now, but he's not planning on being an early enrollee. That would give Georgia some time to work on him if it wanted to. You know, I guess there's the unknown situation with Otis Reese, the linebacker from Lee County who I think was up in the air about was he going to be an early enrollee, or I should say an early signee, or was he going to wait until February? That's one of those that I'm kind of interested in.
He was Michigan, right? He was Michigan?
Yeah, committed to Michigan. But the thing about Reese is he doesn't give a lot of interviews, doesn't talk a lot. I mean, as Jeff Centella said, you know, Reese could know what he's doing, could have already decommitted from Michigan, could have done a lot of stuff like this, and people just might not know it because he's a relatively private recruit. At least that's my understanding based on, you know, what Jeff Centella said. But the overall question, I guess, that's still out there is what's going to happen with five-star quarterback Justin Fields, who I still firmly believe is a rock-solid commit to Georgia. But it is true that Fields has not declared his intention to be an early signee. And with Matt Corral, who was Florida's quarterback commit, flipping to Ole Miss and committing to the Rebels last night, that does, I guess, you know, put more pressure, maybe is the right word, on Fields to truly declare that he's going to sign early, which I believe he probably will end up doing. But that's one of those things I think the Georgia fans got to watch for. You know, Fields, who, you know, I've gotten no indication is considering wavering on his decision to come to Georgia, but he has not declared that he will be an early signing. And obviously, for a lot of Dog fans, him going and closing the hole on that, becoming an early signee, and really, you know, giving Georgia that quarterback depth, which it very well may need, given the uncertain status of Jacob Eason right now.
Well, Sam knows my favorite position to talk about in recruiting, offensive line. So I want to.
Oh, yeah.
We got to get Cade Mays. Got to get that all situated, right?
Well, you saw the great social media picture of Sam Pittman
and Mays'
high school class. I love that too, and I guess Mays is going to be in Athens this weekend for an official visit, and what a huge collection of official visitors for the Dogs this weekend, and Mays may be among the most important there. I mean, you still got Jamari Sawyer out there as well, and I think it looks good for Georgia with Sawyer. I mean, Dave, can you imagine here, you know, Trey Hill locked up this past week, Sawyer probably likely to come, Cade Mays, and I know that a lot of the online chatter would have Clemson the favorite there. I'm not quite so sure about that, given the fact that Georgia gets the final chance to impress here this weekend. If Georgia could add three more elite offensive linemen to what it did last year in the class of 2017, I mean, that puts Georgia, I think, in that SEC championship, college football playoff conversation for many years going forward, because the skill position players are going to be there. And, you know, for such a long time, Georgia, you know, in years past, just didn't quite have that offensive line as solid as it needed to be. But it's hard to imagine that's going to be a problem going forward, given the way that Pittman and Kirby Smart are recruiting at that position.
And, Brandon, you mentioned the Snapchat picture of Cade Mays and Pittman in class together. And it really feels like, and maybe this is just due to the fact that more forms of social media have become prevalent and players are using them a lot more, but I don't want to seem like I'm knocking the old staff, but it seems like this staff is just out there a lot more in recruiting. Am I off base, or do you think that's accurate?
I think that's a really interesting question, because you're right. You know, in the heyday of Mark Richt, we didn't have all these different medium to kind of check up on them and see what they're doing. But there is no doubt that that there's a tenacity maybe here shown by Kirby and his assistants that maybe was a little bit lacking in the previous staff. And listen, I love Mark Richt. I know y'all have great respect for him as well. It's very hard not to be impressed with Mark Richt the person and 15 really good years of football here at Georgia. But if you want to look at the number one reason why Richt never won a national championship, I do think it comes down to roster management. You know, he got good players, but did he maximize the full 85 scholarships? Did he put a capable player in every single one of those 85 spots? I think there's an argument to be made that maybe at times that he didn't. And that's what you see happening with Kirby Smart here. You know, I know Seth Emerson at DogNation.com spends a lot of time crunching the numbers about how Georgia is in terms of its 85, and they're going to be bumping up against that number all the time because Kirby's always looking to get, you know, if it's 24 this year, he wants it to be the best possible 24 that he can get, you know, overwhelming majority of 4- and 5-star players. And for the full 85-man roster, they are chasing down, you know, the best guys they can get. And to me, that's the biggest difference between Kirby Smart and Mark Richt, both really good coaches. But Kirby's roster management may just be a little bit better.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about it. I mean, just with the offense, I mean, think about Georgia redshirted Isaiah Wilson and Torrey Johnson. Those were guys they weren't even getting, and now they're getting them, and they're at the position where they don't have to play him as a freshman. It's just it's amazing. We talk about the roster management a lot, and there were a few years where it felt like it was almost a self-imposed probation because you weren't using all your scholarships. So totally get it. All right, BA, what's on store for us today for Dog Nation Daily?
So today is the 600th episode of Dog Nation.
Awesome!
Daily.
Congratulations!
Woo!
Congrats!
We're going to bring on Jeff Sintel on the show today as well. And, you know, I mentioned a lot of these early signees. He's going to help us with the math on that a little bit. And we will preview all the guys expect to be in Athens this weekend. You know, this is – why is Georgia in the college football playoff? It's because of the work that's done, the recruiting trail. And what's happening this weekend could put Georgia back in the playoff again in the future. So we'll preview all of that.
Looking forward to it, Brandon. And we will definitely do this again, and we'll do it more often. Enjoyed having you on. Again, enjoy the show every day from noon until 1. Thanks for being a part of our team. We do appreciate it, and great talking to you.
Yeah, it's great to be with you all. I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
All right, Brandon. Have a great weekend and a Merry Christmas.
You too.
All right, buddy. Brandon Adams, Dog Nation Daily.